from Minor Manor in Fair Oaks, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. On tonight's program, we try several different beers from Cincinnati and the greater Ohio region. Britton and Joel recently made a trip to Cincinnati, where Joel's family is from, and they brought back with them a bunch of beer, and we're going to try those tonight. My name is Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Britton and Joel Minor, Andy Hamilton, and from Pasadena on Skype, Jeff Miller.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Good evening.
Hello.
Cincinnati beers. Besides the Cincinnati beers, anyone have any interesting beers this week?
Well, I went down to BevMo and got some Stony Brook Red beer, which I really like that beer. And there was four of them, so I bought all four. I drank a lot of that this week.
Nice. You sent me a picture of a beer last week, and it was the Sierra Nevada Tropical IPA.
Oh, the Beer Camp.
The Beer Camp,
and you said that it inspired you to make it the beer of the day. So you bought that beer, had it, and it inspired you to take pictures, write a description of it, put it on the website, and it was the beer of the day.
Yeah, it was a... I'm glad I tried it. It's a unique kind of flavor profile from what you normally get with Sierra Nevada beers. You have that standard, like, bitter copper kind of, you know, flavor towards it. But I was so glad that I tried that beer, and I recommend you guys do as well.
All right.
All right. I had one too.
Okay.
I might kind of blow you guys away. But last night, I had the privilege of trying for the first time ever Heady Topper.
Wow.
And yeah, was not expecting it. I made a new friend yesterday who is from Massachusetts, and he happens to go to Vermont once in a while and had this. And, you know, it was so good. The whole time I'm trying to compare it to Pliny the Elder in my head, I think it's hard to do. I think I have to try them, you know, side by side. But it was one of the most delicious beers I've ever had. It was so smooth, so well balanced. I mean, I could drink that all the time. So, we hear of this beer. It's phenomenal.
Was it hoppy like Pliny?
It was. It was not bitter at all. It was not malty at all. There's a little bit of malt backbone, but it's hoppy, but it's so smooth. It's one of these beers that I would describe as delicious and like juicy. We tried it both out of the can, which is what they recommend, and out of a glass. I kind of preferred it out of the can, actually, which was surprising. But it was hoppy, kind of citrus and pine hops. It was so good. I don't know when I'll get it again, but I was very happy to have tried it.
Wow, that's awesome.
I also had a beer I really liked that was interesting.
Okay.
It was from Coppertail Brewing in Tampa. My dear sister sent us a bunch of beers for Christmas that she handpicked. Dallas, thank you for helping her with that. Mm-hmm. And their Night Swim Porter was fantastic.
What was the brewery?
Coppertail Brewing in Tampa.
Nice. Never had Heady Topper, never had that one before. So that's a pretty eclectic mix of beer this week. All right, well, let's move into the first beer of the night. This is Psychopathy. Not Psychopathy, Psychopathy IPA, 6.9%. This is from Mad Tree Brewery in Cincinnati, Ohio. Did you go to this brewery?
No, but Mad Tree is one of the, it's one of the main breweries in Cincinnati. You know, if you talk about two breweries that you can kind of get at like a sports stadium, you know, you're going to be able to get Mad Tree and Rheingeist both at, at like sporting events. It's a pretty large brewery in Sacramento, pretty popular.
In Sacramento?
I'm sorry, in Cincinnati. I'm trying to pour beer as well as talk at the same time. I'm not as gifted as Andy is at that.
Is this mine?
Yeah, let me give you some of this.
All right. Andy, you know, because the laptop's in the way where Andy's sitting, he gave up his beer pouring responsibilities to Joel. I don't think he's in danger of losing his job.
No. Yeah.
Being in Minor Manor, which is the palace that Britton and Joel live in, you get a variety of different pint glasses. I have the Pittsburgh Steelers glass.
I have the Rheingeist one we got from Cincinnati.
And we'll be drinking a Rheingeist beer later on.
I have a Jungle Jim's International Market glass,
which is where we got all of these beers.
And I have the best glass of all, the 2014 World Series champion San Francisco Giants.
In your face, Jeff.
All right, so this beer, it's a straw-colored, traditional straw color.
Maybe nearly a little, translucent, maybe, but not quite.
Yeah, it's just slightly hazy.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of head on here, just a little white film on the top. Little foamy bubbles.
Mmm.
Smells nice and hoppy.
It does. It does seem to have a very nice hop character. You know, you get non-West Coast hop beers, and you wonder, is this going to be hoppy enough for me? And this smells hoppy enough for me.
It tastes hoppy too, but what I like about it is, and I say this all the time with IPAs that I do like, is that it's not super bitter and it doesn't linger. And I like that.
I feel like it lingers.
Yeah, I do too. Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty bitter.
It is very bitter. I'm shocked of how bitter it is. I don't remember it being this bitter. Yeah, it also kind of dries out your mouth pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty well carbonated though, like overly, not overly carbonated, but medium to high carbonation. And I think that's what kind of lingers, the dryness from the carbonation.
Yeah, there is a dryness there.
I don't taste too much in terms of malts. I mean, there's some hops that's not overwhelming, but I don't get much malt flavor at all.
Yeah, not too sweet either. It's pretty dry.
I get the carbonation thing just saying, because that, you know, at 10 seconds after or 30 seconds after, it's like I drank soda water.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm getting that too.
So it was a pretty interesting thing. I was on their website today looking up the beers and making our agenda. And they put the recipe for the beer right on the website.
Yeah.
So Joel brewed beer today, and he can talk about that. But Joel, here's the recipe for this beer that we're drinking right now.
Yeah. So basically, anytime you have a lot of hops added towards the beginning of the boil time, you're going to get quite a bit of bitterness. And there's quite a bit of hops towards the beginning. You know, you're looking around close to 2 ounces towards the first 30 minutes of boil, which is always going to give you quite a bit of bitterness at the end product. So Andy actually helped me brew some beer today, and it was an adventure. It was fun.
It's always an adventure.
Yeah. So
what kind of hops do they have in here?
Oh, so the hops there. So here's the thing. I mean, there's a hop here. It's Galena. G-A-L-E-N-A.
Galena.
Galena. Chinook, Centennial, and Centennial.
Cascade.
And then Cascade. Some dry hopping is happening as well. So it's mostly just a lot of Centennial.
No Columbus.
No Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Insert Ohio joke there.
I think these hops are pretty like herbal, like in flavor. It's not real citrusy. It's kind of a herbal, floral taste.
Yeah, that describes it perfectly.
And this is pretty high in the IBU. It's 71.2 bitterness, so.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, though.
That's funny that it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Maybe you're becoming a hophead.
I highly doubt that.
You're becoming one of us.
Never!
All right, let's get into the beer news of the day. So we were talking about a lot of hops, and back in November, Sam Calagione of Dogfish Head brewed the hoppiest beer in the world. Every time you see, every once in a while, someone will do this. And he brewed a beer with 658 IBU. And I don't think I'd ever want to drink a beer that hoppy, but when it comes down to it, there's the human mouth tongue is only perceptible up to maybe about 100, 120.
Yeah.
So after a certain point, it really doesn't matter other than to get the headline.
Yep.
We did that McKellar 1000 IBU, and it was bitter, but it wasn't like so bitter that it wasn't drinkable or whatever.
It wasn't very, I didn't think it was very good.
No. I would bet that this beer isn't very good either. It's called Hoolaud. Anyway, you probably won't get it in the store. They don't distribute it anywhere. But maybe if you go to Milton, Delaware and go to the brewery, you might be able to get some. All right. So another article we had in the Washington Post, they had an article that says America now has more breweries than ever, and that might be a problem. So every day in this country, at least two new breweries open up. Just yesterday in Elk Grove, where I live, a new brewery opened up called Flatland Brewery. And I went over to the grand opening. And but this is happening all over the country. So at this point in time, we have more breweries than we ever have in the history of the country. 4,144 as of December 1st, 2015. And that eclipses the high water mark that we had previously, which was 4,131 back in 1873. So
wow.
That prohibition came and just killed it all off. And then when beer came back, it was just the big macro breweries. So 25 years ago, there was just 284 breweries in
Or
in 1990.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been exploding. Like there was 2,000 in 2011, and now in 2016, a whole lot more.
And you see a lot of like burger joints come in and go out, but I haven't seen a lot of breweries actually go out of business in Sacramento compared to seeing how many I've seen pop up. So you feel like there's going to be that time when they start, you know, bottoms up.
Yeah. So eventually, like right now, the industry's booming so much that everybody has a place in the market until the point where not everybody has a place in the market.
Right.
And that's going to happen. And how soon, it's hard to say.
And they say there's only so many store shelves.
Right.
People, they're not adding a second beer aisle at the grocery store. So there's competition there. And then the big, huge brewery conglomerates are taking over, you know, they own a huge section of that. So the amount of space left for the small craft brewer isn't really expanding that much. The number of taps in bars isn't really expanding that much. I mean, an existing bar has a certain amount of space for taps, a certain amount of tap handles. Maybe more of those tap handles are being used for more local beers. Not necessarily all the time. I mean, I've seen it a little bit, but...
But you see more restaurants and bars built specifically to, serve craft beer.
Yes, and I do like that trend for sure. So anyway, we'll see. I mean, it's one of those things where you just have to keep your eye on how things are going. But it is cool that there's so many different options for craft beer now. We are living in a renaissance, as I always say. Cincinnati beer story. So this is very local to Cincinnati, but it was pretty interesting. Cincinnati Beer Week is now moved. This is the fifth year they're doing it, and it was right around this time that it happened last year. But due to bad weather, last year they had to cancel several events, so now they're moving it to June. So June 19th to 25th. And Cincinnati has, I think, over 25 breweries now, and it's been a growing beer scene there as it is anywhere else. The kickoff they're going to do for Beer Week will be on February 29th at Rheingeist. And what they're going to do is they've randomly selected 5 of the 25 or so craft breweries to host the brewing of a collaboration. And then they also did a draft of the style. So, you know, whatever brewery drew, they're going to be making this style of beer. And I think it was like a combination of two different things that it has to do. And then they have a random selection of the other breweries that are going to be working with them at their location. And so over the next few months, they're going to be making 5 custom breweries specifically for Cincinnati Beer Week that will be released around the Cincinnati area during that week. Wow. and available at bars and restaurants and at the different breweries.
Perhaps we should go.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good idea. I mean, yeah. Sacramento Beer Week is coming up in less than a month. And, you know, sometimes a brewery will brew a beer just for Sacramento Beer Week, and it's a novelty or whatever. But this really sounds like a good idea where it gets the whole community involved and, you know, makes something very distinct to that specific area. So I really enjoyed reading that article and liked the fact that that's the case in Cincinnati. So good job on them. All right, let's move into the next beer. We have, we're going to stay in the IPA range, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
This is Truth from Rheingeist, who will be hosting the kickoff party. And the kickoff party will be on, I said, the 29th, 6:30 to 10. And they will have participating, all the breweries will have a beer on tap. So they're going to have, at the kickoff party, 20 different beers or so. And admission is free. So on the 29th, if you're in Cincinnati, check that out.
They did just say admission, right? The beer isn't free.
Beer, they got to pay for the beer.
Sounds like we need to go visit your family again, Joel.
I'm thinking so.
Maybe one of these breweries can invite us out. And if anybody, you know, hears this show and wants to pay for us to fly out to visit your brewery, we're down.
We'll even fly coach.
Yeah, and I got to mention, a couple weeks ago, we were invited out to Claremont Craft Ales in Claremont, California, East LA, and it couldn't have gone better. I'm sure you guys have heard the podcast by now, but talking with Brian, the head brewer, and Nick, the cellarman, and hearing their opinions on all the different beer.
It was one of the coolest experiences of with beer that I've ever had.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't beat it.
And they couldn't have been cooler people. In general, I think that's part of the reason why their brewery makes such good beer. So, one more shout out to them. All right, so this is Truth, 7.2%. It's a little darker than that last beer. This is more of a light copper color, dark golden color.
Has quite a bit more head than the last beer as well.
And it smells quite a bit sweeter.
It does smell sweet. I get a little hoppy notes and then some sweet sugar smell.
There's a maltiness to it for sure.
Mm-hmm. They're using darker malts as well.
Pretty good.
I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of. It's really kind of typical IPA. I mean, there are some hops. It's more malty than a lot of the IPAs we get in the West Coast, but I wouldn't call it necessarily a malt bomb.
It's got a really buttery finish to me. Like, it's got a sweet bread butter finish towards the end that I really enjoy. It's got a good mouth feel. It kind of feels a little bit thick, whereas the other one that we were on was kind of dry.
Yeah.
The Mad Tree one was a little bit more dry and crisp. This one's a little bit more thick and sweet, a little creamier feeling towards the end as well.
Yeah, I get a little more of caramel malt backbone and a little pininess in the malt, in the hops. And those were a little different than the last beer, where you didn't get that the malt base, and then you had more of a herbal hop. So this is, I think, pine hop and a little more maltiness to balance that out.
And this is the beer that got me really hooked on Cincinnati beers. Britt and I have gone to Cincinnati quite a bit to try beers, and we always have a good time with my brother-in-law and sister trying all types of different beers there. And you know, this is the one that... This is like, okay, Cincinnati is, they've stepped up their game on their beer, and this is a great one.
So what do you guys think about this? Like, we don't drink a lot of IPAs out of cans, and here we are, two beers in, both are out of cans. I like the flavor of both of these. I mean, I'm kind of, the last 6 months or so, been getting more into canned beer. You guys think the flavor of this is, you know, not that we have a bottle to compare it to, but what do you think about the flavor coming out of a can?
I like it. I think the way that they make cans now and the lighting in the cans, in theory, the beer should be better because there's no light getting into it. It's more exactly, you know, as
it is intended.
Whereas in the bottle, it's getting light into it unless It's an opaque bottle, which you don't ever see. It technically should be better. Now, there's, for some reason, it's a psychological thing where I prefer to drink a beer out of a bottle, and so it makes me think a beer is better out of the bottle. But I guarantee you, blind, if someone poured it, and I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, or, you know, I don't know. We've did that before with the Bell's Two Hearted Ale, and there was slight differences in the beer, but I don't think we ever made a determination on which one was better.
No, I don't think neither one's better in that regard. There's a different texture in each style, or can versus bottle, and it's hard to tell for any given beer which one is better. I mean, the brewer intended, in most cases, they either can or bottle. There's some breweries that do both, and so it's hard to, what were you really going for when you brewed this beer? Did you want it to have this texture, or did you want to have the bottle texture?
Yeah, Annie and I were talking about this earlier, actually, because I have been drinking a lot of Winter Solstice, and I had a ton of it in a can, and it was fantastic. And then we got a six-pack in the bottles, and I could definitely tell that there was a big difference, and even was like, I like it way better in a can.
Wow.
Same here. With that same beer, I would say the same thing. I've had it both formats, and I prefer the can.
I think the can, it makes it maltier and sweeter, where in the bottle, it was more muted for me.
But I think Andy's right. It's like the texture. Like the can one had a creamier silkiness to it that I didn't get in the bottled one.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know if there's any Winter Solstice left in both. We might have to do a blind taste comparison. But we're getting, it's still winter. The weather's bad, but we're getting out of the winter beers. Okay, next one from the same brewery, we have the Panther. The Panthers tomorrow play in the NFC Championship game. By the time you hear this, it'll be long gone.
Don't say they'll be long gone.
Since the Steelers are not in it anymore, I'm going Panthers.
But we're recording this the Saturday night before the NFC Championship game. Just hey, Joel, so everyone knows.
Yes, sir.
Joel, you're pouring those beers. Is this the fullest can of beer you've ever seen? Like, when I open it, the beer level is so high. I've never seen a beer like can like this.
Well, the Midwest is very particular about not wasting any opportunity to fill up that beer can. You want to make sure you're getting good value for that beer can. So
they like their portions.
So we've tried, you know, Truth is the beer that we often go to. Panther is a porter from Rheingeist at 5.8%. And when we tried this beer, we're like, man, Rheingeist, they're solid brewery. They're doing multiple things and they're doing them really well. So we brought this back because we wanted to share it with the beer of the day folks.
Yeah, this is what I drink a ton of this the last time we were in Cincinnati. This is like my staple wall on this last trip. So, yeah, I've had a lot of this beer.
So it's a dark brown beer, very typical of the style. This is a robust porter, it's called. And you get a dark roasted malt.
I smell, like, if you could imagine this as a real thing, roasted chocolate.
You're getting chocolate notes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, roasted chocolate.
I could see that being a thing.
Pours with quite a bit of head.
So I just had a sip, and this is a pretty smoky beer.
Yeah.
I mean, much more than I expected. I don't get the smokiness in the aroma, but on the taste, there's a lot of smokiness.
I just get that classic porter smell with like molasses tones.
But Jeff, aren't you a little surprised that this beer came out of a can? I mean, I know that we've talked about that, but still, you just don't see that many porters, I don't feel like, in a can.
Well, that was kind of my thinking for the last two beers too, is there's not a lot of IPAs and there's not a lot of porters that come out of a can. I think you're absolutely right. This is probably the first porter I've ever had out of a can.
Well, I think they're probably breaking down the stigma. So I think as more and more beers like this happen where you're getting good beer out of a can, we can probably not have the same bias as we normally would.
I don't want to say it's necessarily a Cincinnati thing, but I feel like in general, a lot of the Cincinnati breweries, more than other locales, tend to can their beer.
Yeah, when you go to the shelves there at the local store and you're looking at Ohio beers, you're going to see a lot of canned
beer. A ton of them are canned.
Yeah, well, it's becoming more prevalent here, too. I mean, a lot of different breweries are canning their beer in addition, and then we have 21st Amendment and others that are all only canned.
And I'm really liking the 16.4 ounce cans that you've been seeing a lot.
Yeah, they come in different sizes depending on brewery.
So I'm really liking that movement. Fill up that pint glass for show.
So one of the things that I liked about this Panther Porter in particular is I feel like it has a crisp finish. Anybody else getting that?
Yes, but a fair amount of that molasses sweetness kind of lingers on my tongue for quite a while. It's a little caramel, a little molasses. Maybe it'll just a little smoke. It's not overwhelming in any of those three categories. It's pleasant, and it kind of tides you over until the next sip.
Yeah, I'd say it's surprisingly refreshing.
Mm.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
because if you look at it, when you get kind of towards the bottom, it's not very thick for a porter.
And this is like, so back to kind of Andy's point about being refreshing, like I think a lot of people will drink, you know, porters and stouts in the wintertime. They're heavier beers. They you know, they're thicker. I could drink this in the summertime and be happy with it.
Easily.
Do you guys, like a major flavor that I pick up on is like chocolate syrup, like Hershey syrup. Do you guys get that? I mean, this tastes very, not syrupy, but it tastes like Hershey's.
We don't eat or drink chocolate syrup at Minor Manor. No, I do get that.
I get a little hint of chocolate, but I don't get the specifics of the chocolate too much.
I agree.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a strange brew from Ohio, North Olmsted, a Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale, and then four more beers from the Ohio area. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy this podcast and the Beer of the Day website and want to know how you can support us, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. We have a banner at the very top of the site that says support Beer of the Day by shopping on Amazon. You click that, or you go to amazon.beeroftheday.com. It'll just redirect you straight to Amazon. You do your regular shopping, and then we get a little percentage of what you spend. It does not cost you anything more. The prices don't go up. It's the same old Amazon as you're used to, but we get a little bit of commission, and that helps us pay for everything that we use on this show and on the website. That's the web hosting, our email service that we use to send out the Beer of the Day emails each day, our SMS service where we send a text message with the Beer of the Day to your phone. There's all the beers that we have on the show and all the podcasting equipment. There's a ton of expenses. And by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, you help us out a lot. For example, just today, somebody bought Hill Science Diet Jerky Dog Treat Bag, 7.1 ounces.
Sorry, guys.
Apparently, one of our listeners has a fat dog that needs diet jerky treats.
That was for me, actually. It's cheaper than buying a regular beef jerky.
So from that purchase, we received 24 cents, and we're going to take that 24 cents and put it towards beer on a future program. So thank you very much for that. Also, you can help us by telling a friend about our show. We are a relatively new podcast. This is only our 32nd episode.
35th.
Not even a full year yet. And we grow by you letting your beer drinking friends know about us. So if you have a friend that likes craft beer, show them how to download the podcast on their phone or just send them the link to beerofthedaypodcast.com, and that's going to help us out as well. All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. This is the Strange Brew segment. If you haven't heard this show before, this is where we find the strangest brew that we can that fits the theme. This one is fits the theme because it's from Ohio. I think North Olmsted is near Cincinnati.
I'm not good at geography.
Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale.
North is up on the map.
When you have berry, honey, and blueberry, well, berry is blueberry. So it's basically honey and blueberry, but that's enough to make it strange. It
smells glorious.
5.3%. This is from Fatheads Brewery and Saloon. Must be.
I thought this was going to be a lot darker than it really is.
Why did you think that?
I thought it was going to be much bluer than it is.
Yeah, I don't know why. But it's got an aroma. I mean, you just smell blueberries right off the, like, wow.
It's like Willy Wonka chewing gum.
It smells like dank blueberries.
Sorry, this is way late, but North Olmsted is right outside of Cleveland. So very North Ohio.
It's pretty much all the same place, right? I mean, it's a small state.
I can smell it, like, just with what was poured at the table.
I don't smell it.
I can smell the blueberries from here. I don't have my nose like anywhere near my glass.
When I think of blueberries, I don't think of like an aroma. I think of...
It smells like the batter, like when you're making blueberry pancakes.
I was going to say blueberry muffins, right on.
This has blueberry muffins, yeah, you're right.
The most refreshing beer in America, according to Brewing News.
Mm. It smells fantastic.
It smells, yeah, like blueberry pancakes. Wow. It smells better than Smash Blueberry from Shipyard, which is the other blueberry beer that I really am aware of.
There's like a lot of fine detritus floating around in there too.
Yeah, we don't use words like that on this show.
Well, I do, so you're welcome.
So on the flavor, I get a little crispness up front. Not Christmas. Crispness. And then I have a sour blueberry.
Yeah. Yes.
This is a more sour than I expected.
It's got like a Gose finish.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's definitely different than I expected, but it's quite good.
I could see how they would give this, they categorize this as refreshing. I mean, you could put some of this away, especially in the summertime.
This beer keeps surprising me. I was surprised at the color. And then I'm definitely surprised by the sour. Because you can't, I feel like in general, you can smell that in the aroma, and you didn't get that at all.
Britton, do you have the makings for blueberry pancakes?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Andy, I think you're right on, though. This tastes a lot like the, I mean, just because I had it today, the Sierra Nevada Otra Vez, the Gose plus blueberries. It really has that kind of sour finish. I like it. It's refreshing, but pretty sour.
I like it because I thought it was going to be sweet, and there's almost no sweetness. Like, right where you think you're going to get it, in comes the sour.
Yeah.
It's so authentically blueberry. Like, it's, you know, normally when you drink a beer that has some type of flavor that it says, a lot of times it's like an approximation of that flavor. This really tastes like blueberries.
Yeah.
And I get very little of the honey. You know, this is a honey blueberry ale. I get very little honey, if any at all.
I forgot about the honey. And I don't detect any.
Your honey detection skills.
Well, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had the honey Kolsch from Samuel Adams. And that was quite honey apparent.
Yeah.
This does not have much. This is a very interesting, fascinating beer. It's much different than I expected and exceeded my expectations.
Agreed.
All right. Well, let's move into the next beer. We have from the Brew Kettle Tap House and Smokehouse, Strongsville, Ohio, White Raja. We also have the Black Raja, which we'll be trying next.
And this is a beer that sometimes you'll go to the store to grab and you'll run out of it, you know, that they won't all be available because, you know, they've sold out of it for this week or something like that because it's pretty high demand.
I had to rinse out my glass after that blueberry one.
So this one's pretty dark.
This is a White Raja?
Yeah, this is White Raja.
This is kind of like sewer water Raja.
It really is a different color beer. Like, I don't even have a word to describe it.
You know what color it is? It's the color of an Arnold Palmer. Like, it's got the yellow of lemonade, but also the brown of iced tea.
Yeah, it's really iced tea colored. I see that.
And they left light. they left all the lemons and tea bags in there. It is pretty. It's pretty darn cloudy.
I think it's the first time the word tea bag's been used on the podcast.
And sewer water.
It's lightly carbonated. Like, yeah, it looks like kind of stagnant when looking at it, and then
it looks unappetizing.
Has anybody tried it yet?
It doesn't look clean, but I'm guessing it is.
Now on the smell, it smells appetizing. I get kind of a little fresh hop smell, slight fruitiness. It smells really good.
There's a little sourness there, in the smell. That I'm not liking, and I don't want to equate it to what I'm equating it to, but you ever smell spit?
No.
Well, it kind of smells like spit.
Let me try that. Feel a little pool right here.
So.
Whoa.
Maybe it's still an adjustment from the blueberry, but it just tastes watered down to me.
To me, it tastes a little bit like Laffy Taffy, and I know that's, I get like some sort of like creamy, it's almost like a little bit of a sourness to it, but it's got a lot of like hop flavors, and it kind of changes a lot from a creamy to a hoppy back to like a sweet flavor throughout the whole like profile of tasting it.
If I had to pick a flavor, I'd say it's tropical fruit.
I kind of disagree. Like, I get more of an herbal hop taste, like the first beer, and it tastes a lot like the iced tea. Maybe I just think that mentally because Britton said an Arnold Palmer, but it kind of has hints of like tea in this beer.
It does, and
yeah,
they say, you know, you eat with your eyes, and this is a good example of that where I wish I wasn't looking at the beer because it screws with your head.
There's not a lot of, you know what? I think it kind of has that drying effect that the Mad Tree did, but it's even less sweet than the Mad Tree. The Mad Tree wasn't sweet at all, but this is less sweet, more drying, and a lot more bitter, like at the very end. And it's like a prolonged bitterness that I don't like.
Are you guys getting like a melon water? Like melon.
That's what
water.
I get. When I say tropical fruit, I'm kind of saying melon. Melon water, a little like watermelon, has watermelon is kind of a watery, watered down flavor, and I get that with this. It's like I'm not getting the full taste of the beer.
There's a weird maltiness that I'm getting too,
and I feel like the words that we're describing is maybe you guys don't enjoy it as much as I do. I really like this beer, and I feel like some of the words we're describing it are like we're giving it some sort of like weak description. I'm not really getting weak. I'm just getting just not intense hoppiness like some of the beers we've had already today.
Right.
It's weird. The color and the kind of the wateriness, but it also has a pretty good, like, there is hop flavor there. I mean, it's really there. It's just weird.
And Joel, I agree with you. I think it's a different beer, but I really enjoy this. It's not like the IPAs we drink on the West Coast. It's not juicy or fruity. It's just a little more, it's just a different hop profile than we're used to.
It's tea baggy.
It's tea, yeah. Andy's used to that.
Oh, all right, let's try the Black Raja. 6.8%, same alcohol by volume. Also from the Brew Kettle Tap House and Smokehouse. Smokehouse sounds like to me they got food there. Last beer I was looking for some blueberry pancakes. Now I'm looking for some barbecue.
A lot darker color.
Dallas is the only one here that didn't have dinner, so he's thinking food every step of the way.
That's right.
Whereas we overate.
Yeah.
This is almost black in color.
Yeah.
Strongsville, Ohio is just outside Cleveland also, which is on the complete other side of the state from Cincinnati.
So like 30 miles. How far is it?
It's probably a good 4 or 5 hour driving.
Like LA traffic or normal traffic?
Cornfield.
In Ohio, they don't have the word traffic. It's when you get stuck behind a harvester.
They don't have a word to describe the meaning of traffic.
So pretty good head on this. I think it's a pretty thick, foamy head.
Completely different color beer.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get much head at all.
This is dark brown. It's even darker than the Panther.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which was dark in itself, in and of itself.
But this has not much aroma to it, especially compared to the last one.
An India-style black ale, and it is definitely darker and thicker than that porter.
Right, but it is definitely an IPA smell versus... normally, you see a beer like this, and you're thinking porter or stout, and you get those molasses, sweet, mm-hmm. dark malt. This actually is a hop aroma. It's just more reserved than that last beer we had.
It still has that spit aroma, too.
I think you need to see a doctor.
So it's interesting also that they call this an India-style black ale, whereas we think this is an IPA, right?
Yes.
And right. I mean, they call it India-style, whereas a lot of the breweries would call it a black IPA.
Well, that's because that's like the nomenclature, but I don't think that it wouldn't make sense to call it an India pale ale because it's not pale. It's just a play on words. It's not, I don't think it means anything.
I think it means they're saying the same thing, but I think they're trying to make it more correct in the term.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, it might be a regional thing too.
Because you can't say it's a black pale ale. It doesn't make sense. So they're saying it's a.
They're correcting the wrongs of so many breweries.
Right.
Yeah.
So flavor wise, you get more of a malt backbone to this one, kind of a dark roastiness,
yeah,
malt, and then it's balanced out with a hop flavor. I don't get the funkiness, the weirdness from this beer that I did on the last one. This is very drinkable. I think it's a good representation of the black IPA style.
It is. I agree.
I don't really like black IPAs, and this is a better one. And I think it's because it's a little creamier. A lot of the black IPAs I drink seem flat to me. And I like the carbonation and the creaminess on this one.
I think if you blindfolded me and had me taste this, I would think it was an IPA and wouldn't think it is as dark as it is. But there is the like malty roastiness there that you guys are describing. But to me, it tastes like an IPA.
And I think Jeff said it's got a thicker mouthfeel or something to that extent. It's just thicker. It feels thicker.
Yeah, it's not thin like a lot of black IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. If I just had this without tasting it, I would not think it was this dark at all. This is good. I enjoy this one.
I like it better than the White Roger.
As do I.
Me too.
I'd have to go back to it, but this one definitely has a lingering finish.
I mean, I'm not saying there's not a bitterness, but it's that Mad Tree was bitter.
I would drink the Mad Tree over both of these.
This has some... the dark malt, some reserved hoppiness, and then like a little caramel sweetness in the aftertaste. It's a darn good beer. I'm a big fan of this one. All right. Well, another beer we have to try from Fatheads Brewery and Saloon, the same place that gave us our strange brew, the Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale. This is Headhunter IPA, 6.8%. IPA heavy show.
Yeah.
Yay.
They like their IPAs over there in Ohio.
They sure do.
And which is great. And, you know, this, I'm surprised that the IPAs we've tried so far are not leaning on the maltiness like the East Coast IPAs. I think there's like a little pocket of West Coast there in Cincinnati.
So Fatheads, I have had this beer before. Fatheads is a brewery where they've opened these brew pub restaurants in various cities, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, I guess. Portland,
yeah.
So we were up in Portland last year, and we walk by the place, we see the guy's fat head on the thing, and we're like, oh, that can't be good.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I you know, I've talked about this on the show before. I went back there with my friend and tried a bunch of their beers. Really good beers, top to bottom. It's a good place to go to. But they're kind of setting up these small satellite breweries throughout the country to distribute their beer, and I think that's a really good idea.
And this one's coming in at 7.5% with 87 IBU. And this is going to have some punch to it.
Oh, great.
I probably said 6.8% earlier, so Joel corrected me.
So this one it's lighter, obviously, than the other ones we've had, but it's kind of like a dark straw color. Not that hazy, a little bit.
Kind of amber colored.
Yeah.
I think on the aroma, this reminds me a lot of a Stone beer. It's got the West Coast Stone aroma.
Like the Stone that you like or the Stone you don't like?
The Stone that I like.
It's so hard to tell with you these days.
Yeah, it's like 50-50 with Stone.
You're so wishy-washy, Jeff.
It used to be like 90% no. Now it's 50%.
I've changed a lot in the last 2 years when it comes to Stone.
So we've had a lot of double IPAs that don't come close to this standard IPA from Fatheads when it comes to just that alcohol and also just the intensity of the hops.
Yes, this one kicks you a little bit. And it's a transition from all the other beers we've had. I take a sip of this, I'm like, whoa, this is no joke.
This is my type of beer, though.
And we've had some hoppy beers tonight, and this one punches you. It's
yeah, but it's not like it's like that Mad Tree just had like an astringent finish that I didn't enjoy. This one has a little bitter finish, but it just makes you want to drink more so you can get to the next sip.
It's got a bitter finish, but I think initially there's like a lighter melon, like watermelon flavor that I enjoy.
A lot of watermelon tonight.
Yeah, I actually don't mind this beer until the finish, and then it just keeps going on and on and on with the bitter. But it punches you with a very clear hoppiness that I like.
This one kind of reminds me of we had that Chaotic on a couple of shows ago.
Who is that from?
The California Dry Grab Bag Twisted Manzanita.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then we had the Joe IPA from
10 Barrel Joe, right?
Yeah, 10. Oh, 10 Barrel, yeah.
I think I changed my opinion. I don't know that I like this so much. It's a little... I mean, it's not bad. I'll drink it, but it's very bitter on the finish. I like a good IPA, but this is really bitter.
I made like bitter, not to be cliche, but the bitter beer face after my second sip. It was like I had to shake it off.
But I think like all things bitter and what we experience a lot with the bitter beers is you drink a few ounces of it, then the bitter wears off. You don't taste that anymore. So, and then you really pick up these really nice hop flavors.
Yeah. Like third sip rule, you know, this beer is a little bit more of a substantial hop and bitter hit than the rest of the beers we've had. It takes a little while to get accustomed to it. But now that I have adjusted to it, I am getting a really solid double IPA out of this.
Ugh, I can't drink it here.
I mean, you can definitely taste the dry hopping in this. It's very prevalent. It's just a little too bitter on the finish for me. But I enjoy it. It's not a bad beer. Just a little bitter. You gotta like bitter hops to enjoy this beer.
You do. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm with Jeff.
But if you like bitter hops, this is probably a good beer to try.
True.
Headhunter. From Fatheads. All right, last beer of the night. Now, this is an interesting beer. This is not a beer that is from Ohio. This is from Clown Shoes. And this is a beer they brew specifically for distribution in Ohio. And this is called the Ohio Unidragon. So the Ohio is right on the label.
Does that mean one dragon or is that like unicorn?
I think it's a dragon with a spike coming out of his nose. This is the 2015 version of it.
And this is a Russian
Russian Imperial Stout. made in Massachusetts for exclusive distribution in Ohio.
Smells so
good. So if we're going to do an Ohio show, this is a good beer to have on it. William Taft, resurrected and riding the Ohio Unidragon, told us last year's version of this beer was delicious. But come on, gentlemen, tweak the label. Well, okay, Billy. Yes, sir, Mr. President. We replaced the peat smoke malt with rye malt and are using Cascade and Columbus hops. Sourced from the Ohio Hop Growers Guild, respectfully, we submit this dark, dank beast, Rock On Ohio.
So it's a hoppy Russian Imperial Stout.
Yes.
That's what I got out of that.
William Howard Taft on riding a dragon playing a guitar.
Sounds hella metal.
Sounds random.
It's this rock and roll right here.
Now, before we drink this, you know, Clown Shoes does some crazy stuff. And till now, I've enjoyed pretty much all of it. I don't remember one I didn't like. So.
Until now?
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't tasted.
So I don't have this one, just for the record. I have no commentary to add.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
We can only
get
one bottle. So I'm counting on you guys to tell me how this is.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
I'll spit some of it into a glass and just ship it to you.
So next week,
gross,
we will be doing a Clown Shoes show. We have, I think, 7 or 8 different Clown Shoes beers, and we have the a different Unidragon, the non-Ohio version of the same beer that we'll be trying also. I think, did I leave that one with you, Jeff?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
So you get to try a different version of this beer next week.
I can't wait.
This is weird.
Have you tasted it yet?
Yeah.
This is dark as night. It's completely black. You cannot see through it. There's no light at all.
Even when you hold it up to a bright light, you cannot see through it.
Yes. It is like a black hole of beer.
A Russian Imperial Stout should have the molasses and the, you know, the brown sugar and kind of that dryness, and it has all that, but then it has a bitter finish, like a hop bitter finish. It's weird. The weirdest beer. I've used that word a lot tonight, but it's weird.
Tonight's the weird night, yeah. And the watermelon night.
Word of the day.
You're right. A lot of Russian Imperial Stouts are dark malt, you know, a little boozy, and then they finish with a little sweetness, right? Yeah. To try and keep you coming back. And you're right, this one has a little of that hop bitterness in the finish.
This has like a 40-second tasting like
experience.
It's, I'm like mind blown. I think I had like 6 beers during a 40-second period.
Not your 40-second tasting experience, a 40-second.
40-second.
40 seconds. Every second has a unique experience.
I'm drunk and tired, people.
We can tell.
So there is a beer that's you guys are going to try next week that's similar to this one, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just a different Unidragon.
So I agree with everything that's been said so far. I actually think it's bitter up front as well. Like it definitely, it's like, it is like, to Joel's point, it is a long tasting experience. To Andy's point, it has a bitter finish. But I think it's bitter up front.
8 seconds. That's how many seconds I get. It's like, yeah. Like riding a bull.
That's what's really good. Yeah. I did exaggerate.
Riding a
unidragon.
It's more like 8 seconds and 40. I tend to exaggerate the length of things. You can just ask Britain.
Are there unidragons?
So
I can neither confirm nor deny. Are there Unidragons from other states?
Well, yeah, we're having one next week that's not from Ohio.
The Blayacorn Unidragon. Now, I thought maybe they were just relabeling the beer for Ohio.
No, can't be.
No, it's not. They have different alcohol percentages. This is a different beer we're trying. So I think it'll be similar next week that Jeff will be trying. But
I think it will not be as hoppy.
But Britain brings up a good question. Like, this one is made for Ohio. Do they make these for other states? We know they make it non-Ohio, but do they make them for other states specifically?
I think they made this as a result of that guy's complaint.
You look up that. I'm going to look up Jeff's question and see if they do this for other states.
You know, we could research shit before the show.
This makes it more fun for the listeners. So here's the thing is we are probably each having maybe 2 or 3 ounces of this beer because we split one and we haven't poured all of it into our glasses. I don't know if I would want more than 4 or 5 ounces of this.
William Howard Taft was born in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow.
I mean, we haven't really described the flavors in this beer except for it's got a lot of them and it's got...
I think I hit it pretty good with it. It's got the molasses. It's got the brown sugar. It's got all those makings of a Russian Imperial Stout with a bitter hop finish.
Yeah, a little black cherry, but really...
Let me dig that deep. Hold on.
Dig it.
I get some chalkiness to it, some like just dirt chalkiness to it that I don't really like.
I think it's a solid a Russian Imperial Stout. I mean... It tastes pretty good to me.
The bitterness is it doesn't belong to me.
I think I'm with Andy. There's absolutely like no sweetness that I'm getting, and generally, if I'm looking, you know, at a stout, I want a little bit of sweetness.
All right. Well, I think it's time to recap the beers we've had on the show today, and figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. Andy.
Okay, so we started off with Psychopathy IPA from Mad Tree Brewing. Then we had the Truth IPA and the Panther Porter from Rheingeist.
Robust Porter.
Yeah, I don't say robust. So then we came back from commercial with the Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale. That's a lot of blueberry or berry.
It was a lot
it
of blueberry.
It was actually. Now it makes sense that they said berry twice in
they
the name.
They should have said it 3 times.
Yeah. From Fatheads, and then we had the White and Black Raja from the Brew Kettle, and then the Headhunter also from Fatheads, and we finished it off with the Ohio Single Dragon from Clown Shoes, Russian Imperial Stout.
All right, let's spin the wheel and figure out who's going to go first. Spinning, and... It's Jeffrey.
Woo! All right. Glad to go first for once. So for me, it really came down to 2 beers, the White Raja and the Black Raja. I actually enjoyed both of those.
Really?
I know not everybody agrees. But I'm going to go with the Black Raja mainly because it's one of the first black IPAs that I really enjoyed. And I've had a lot lately, and they just normally don't do it for me. I liked the balance between the malts and the hops. It had that nice roasted flavor, and just overall, I enjoyed that beer. And out of all these beers were good. I want to thank Joel and Britton for bringing these back from Cincinnati area. But, you know, the best one for me was the Black Raja.
All right.
My pick for beer of the day is the Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale.
Wow.
That beer... you know, the strange brews, they can be anything, and this was anything. It's different, but it was enjoyable. It's drinkable. I could drink another one right now. It was an excellent beer. It really cleansed my palate. This is an IPA-heavy show, and that was a perfect beer to put in the middle of it because I just feel like hop overload right now, especially even the last beer, the Russian Imperial Stout, was like overly hopped. I'm just overly hopped now, so... That's my pick.
Wow. That's surprising. I have to say, I agree with you. That beer was very, very good. It was authentic blueberry. Like, it actually tastes like blueberry pancakes, so much so that I want some right now. I'm not going to get any, though. But my beer of the day, IPA heavy show, the Psychopathy IPA, the very first one we had, that was a excellent, just all around IPA. I enjoyed that one immensely. I just thought I was impressed with that one right off the bat. It really had a lot of West Coast characteristics of IPAs that I like, and they give us the recipe to brew it. So I'm going to give that to Joel, and he can make me some psychopathy.
Problem is he didn't like it, so he's never going to make it.
I could, might be able to convince him.
Yeah, I'll make it for you.
Nice. Thanks, Joel.
All right, so for me, my brew of the day, beer of the day, is going to be the Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale. I echo all of Andy's sentiments, and it surprised me a couple times. I found the sour to not only be surprising, but extremely pleasant, and like he said, refreshing. So that's my beer of the day.
So my beer of the day is, you know, the beer today that I enjoyed the most was the Strange Brew, the, you know, the Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale. And I think that's a
mouthful.
That's a lot of bees. You know, I think if I take a random day and I stack up White Raja to a lot of like random beers throughout, you know, out the podcast we've done, I probably would pick that the majority of the time. It's just that Bumble. Yeah, that the Strange Brew. That was the berry one. That was a good beer, and I'm glad I tried it. And with all of the hops that we had today, it kind of skewed, kind of like Andy said, I was over hopped, and I think the Strange Brew was a pleasant, like refreshing taste today.
All right, yeah. Once again, thanks guys for bringing these beers back from Cincinnati. It was great to try them.
Hey, that second checked luggage, second bag on Southwest,
free. It's awesome.
Made a lot of that beer come back.
Beers fly free. Beers fly free. You're gonna hate me for that one.
All right, that's going to close out our Cincinnati show. And we'll play a little Pretenders here. That's the Ohio band to play. And we will see you next week. Next week, like we mentioned, we have our Clown Shoe show. We have so many Clown Shoes beers to try. It's like 8 or 9. It's going to be rough, but we'll get through it.
You sound like you're looking forward to that.
It'll be fine. I'm not worried. If you are on Facebook, a lot of people are, you should like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. If you're on Twitter, we are at Beer of the Day on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. And Jeff does a great job of posting up the photos from the Beer of the Day each day. If you're not a member yet of the Beer of the Day website, come on, sign up an account. We will email you the Beer of the Day each day, or send it straight to your phone by text message, and you can figure out what the beer of the day is without having to do nothing. We'll see you next time. For Andy Hamilton, Britton and Joel Miner, and Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Hellicker. You've been listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. And we got 43 more seconds to get through of song.
Listen to that bass riff.
I'll just fade it out early. It'll be fine.
It's even good if you're just talking during the ending sometimes. Just fade out conversation, everything too.
But not this conversation, because this sucks.
Because we're talking about it.
We're talking about. Yeah.
That was interesting. A second.